Is fly tipping a hell of a waste?
Hello and welcome to the Mark and Pete Show. Large fly tipping incidents are occurring across the whole of England. And this is partly due to the fact that fake companies are hired out to dump clients' waste almost anywhere. This is costing local authorities millions of pounds. Well, why is this? Is this simply a business opportunity by criminal minds? Or is it just simply members of the public that just simply can't be bothered to take it down to the local tip? Well, I have a useful tip for those creatures. Those folk who fly tip, who flagrantly flee the scene, fill the fields just like a skip with things too unclean. Here's a useful tip for those who fled. Empty your head from a wasteful thought. Dispose of it lawfully before it has spread, and it's traced and you are caught.
Yes.
Well, and Pete, I must admit that when you look around the fields, certainly close to our community, you almost certainly come across a disposed sofa and many unpleasant things. What is going on with our waste society?
Well, businessman Mark, what we have is an interesting example of the human condition. This was bound to happen. Just before I go on, our title for the episode today referred to fly tipping, which is simply the tipping of rubbish and detritus in a place where you're not meant to, sort of on the fly, and you just tip it instead of in a designated tip or bin or refuse or recycling centre. So it is, however, something that has gone on for a long time. And it could be argued that this is a bit tenuous, but we referred to being a hell of a waste in the episode title. And in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, it says we should fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. In other words, we should fear God. And hell, in that verse, is a translation of a Hebrew word, Gehenna, or Gehinnom, the valley of the son of Hinnom. And it was a valley just south of Jerusalem where they tipped all the rubbish. It was the earliest fly tipping site on record. And there was so much built up there that it started to smoulder and burn. And the worms came and ate away any flesh that was tipped there. So it was used as a picture for the final destination of the devil and evil, that class of thing. Mm. And I think that we are ending up with a hell of earth because of all the fly tipping going on. The motivation for it, though, as I was just saying, I think it's just an example of what we humans are like. I think that fly tipping is on the increase because of the insistence that we recycle. I think that the recycling pressure, the pressure to recycle, coming from government and then from local government in the UK, is causing people to just despair. The difficulty of it, of separating out the recycling matter from the stuff that's meant to be put into the landfill sites, and then the reducing of opportunity to do it because local government councils found that it was expensive to provide such facilities. Means what you do is you think. I, of course, mean you, Mark. No, and anyone who thinks like this, you find, I've got all this rubbish, I need to separate it out, it's too difficult, it's getting too expensive. Oh, look, there's a firm who's offering to just take it away and get rid of it for me. Mm. So I'll pay them 25 quid or whatever it is, and they'll take it. When they do take it, the reason they're so cheap is they just dump it in a field round the corner.
Yes.
Well, that's what's happening.
Yes, it is. And I don't disagree with the sparking of this trend. I mean, fly tipping has been around, well, as you've already highlighted, since time immemorial. But the fact of the matter is it's the strange and rather worrying trend. Now, Countryside Alliance head of policy, Sarah Lee, said tougher sentences were needed to address the crisis. Now, I agree with that. Now, she went on to say, you are now getting fake waste companies hiring out buildings, dumping waste in them, doing a runner and leaving it for landowners to dispose of the waste at huge cost to them. So it has, ironically, fortunate but legitimate business people, i.e. landowners in any capacity, who are legitimately trying to earn a living, having to scrape up all of this mess, which is impacting on their margins and taking up all their resources. Ironically, you have the other side, which is the criminal business mind, who clearly seen this recycling issue, as you highlighted, Clergyman Pete, as being a golden opportunity. Now, I'm going to ask you a few questions here, and this is about the impact, not just on the environment, because I think that's evident. We could probably explore that. But how much do you think it has cost local authorities since 2012 in terms of cleanup costs? As a guide, just as an approximate guide, how much do you think it is in millions of pounds?
This is the whole of England across...
Yes, it's just purely England, yes. It's,
so and about 8 years.
I will say, just to give you a clue, that London and Manchester were the hardest hit.
I bet they were, big cities. Well, look, I'm saying that it's a growing thing, so maybe five or six, say, I'm saying 6 million.
Right, since 2012.
Yes.
I think it would be much more manageable were it to be fiber. It's
Tell me the answer.
Go on, have one more guess.
Well, your reaction to that makes me think that it's probably twice that then. So I said six, did I? Yeah, five, six million, 12 million.
Right. Try 60, as in 60.
Oh, yes, okay.
Yes. Now, £60 million, think what you could do with that. I mean, this is where it becomes serious. £60 million deployed to education, deployed to maybe improving the community in other ways. That is where we've got an issue. So we've got it on different scales. Clearly, financially, it's having major impact. And these large-scale fly-tipping exercises has more than doubled in the last 6 years. And I think that one of the things that I would say here is I come back to what Sarah Lee said, which is I agree with the point that, in my opinion, and I think Britain can be somewhat liberal and wishy-washy over these issues, but it needs to have harder disciplines. Now, whether that's major fines, possibly even severe prison targets that people would have to incur, I don't mind the measures. But at the moment, there isn't enough deterrent.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And if there isn't a deterrent, i.e. a strong deterrent, people will keep doing it. And here's the worry. Because there has been also surveys suggesting that those criminals who are actually doing the execution of this matter don't necessarily always come from this country. Now, we don't necessarily go into individuals, and we don't necessarily need to mention which countries. But the point being is there's a lot of transient people who are looking for jobs. If it's quick and easy money, they'll do it. And they may not always be aware, and as some people have highlighted in certain cases, necessarily be aware of the law. They just think they're helping out. So effectively, the criminal leaders, the gangs of these bogus companies, are taking advantage not only of this, quest to recycle, but possibly also the utilization of foreign workers. And I think this is where it's becoming a double whammy. So what's your thoughts, Clergyman Pete, in terms of punishment? What do you think we should actually do?
Well, what I think is that it's not so much the severity of the fine. I think it needs to fine or whatever other punishment, whether it's actual imprisonment, is in place, but rather it's the certainty of it. You need to actually catch people. And so even though, I just think, even though this, it isn't perhaps a fair point at which to punish people or to catch people to be punished, I think you've got to attack the householders and people and companies who actually, well, it'd be householders, I guess, or very small companies who will use the fly tipping companies. I think you need to actually fine people who use them. Because they're easier to find. that's what I'm saying. I'm just saying you can do on the spot fines for people actually fly tipping. But I guess just think of the difficulty in trying to catch them. As soon as you put CCTV cameras in one place, they'll go to another place. And the whole point about fly tipping is you just go to an area where there's very few things or people around. That's why you go there, to just tip it. So it's difficult to trace them. But you can trace where the people who are using these facilities. And because in those areas where people are living, you can have CCTV cameras, and you can have people on the spot who could see it happening. So I think that, yes. You see, oh, well, that particular firm is picking up that, we've seen them, do it. And then you don't just find the people taking it. You find the people in the household or small company that's using it. It could be a big company, but I just think that they would be able to afford to use and would want to use for the sake of their PR and their reputation, would want to use a reputable firm. But I think there are other things you can do. I think you could, I mean, surely there must be a way of tracing where rubbish goes, you know, of being able to have something within packaging or some way like that of tracing where it actually ends up, and thus locating it, finding the spot and catching people. So that's just a couple of ideas that I've seen floating around.
Yes.
But really,
well,
it's...
Yes, floating around is...
what I'm saying is really, it's...
it's quite apt.
It's not that there's... it's not a big moral issue in that we're discussing. People, we can see that it's wrong. Everyone agrees that it's wrong, I think. But
yes,
but the now, so the problem is the I'm practicality of trying to stop it.
Well, that's of course, and, you know, local councils do use CCTV. Yeah, but to your point, here's some points that I would highlight. Now, it's been documented recently from a resident's perspective, and I was quite interested to hear what certain people had said. Now, one resident told a leading media organisation that large-scale tipping was a major issue, and this was actually in Croydon. Which for those of our international listeners are sort of in the south of England. But what was said by a local resident, you get into the car, start driving, and after a while, you know you've left Croydon just by looking out of the window. You think, oh, we're in Lambeth now, there's no rubbish on the streets anymore. Point being is that, of course, obviously, it just seems commonplace.
Yes.
And in fact, another resident said that outside of her house during the night, and this is the point, it was rubble and electric appliances, another authority's bins full of builder's waste tipped from the back of a lorry, presumably at speed. Yes. So even though that there are CCTV available, there's no question about that, is that either that the vehicle itself has been stolen and simply almost tipping it on the move. Literally fly tipping, fleeing and fly tipping in one go. So I think the issue has come to the point where clearly, as you say, you need to be able to catch the criminals. How you catch them and crucially prove it is the issue. But what I would say here is I cut these lorries too, because clearly certain vehicles will only be suitable for doing it en masse. If it comes down to individuals, well, I think this is where, again, should they then have to pay greater fines to their local councils? Should maybe they have to do community service? Some people have many, many other bins. And how can one household alone accommodate for four or five bins? It just isn't practical. So that's why I say I think we do need to think a little bit more. Should it be then that we have to raise our council tax to simply allow the council to manage it better rather than the pain being on the public?
There needs to be a change in dealing with the cause. What is the cause of people turning to fly tipping? Well, it's the difficulty, it's the confusion, it's the hassle of having to separate out your rubbish and then not being provided with the bins to put it in or places to take it, and not being given enough bins to deal with the normal rubbish that will go to landfill. I mean, I think the people are putting up the fines. I've just got one council here. There's a the information in front of me. If you're caught fly tipping, you could have a fine of up to £50,000 or 5 years in prison, or both. And so, you know, those the severity is there. Trying to catch them, as we've said, is proving difficult.
Mm.
These sort of measures were put into place a few years ago, so that what we can say now, look, that's not working. Is it? What I would say is that it's actually up for grabs whether all this attempt to recycle is actually doing any good.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, indeed. Now, on the Mark and Pete Show, we always like to be helpful. Now, we know that waste crime is an unacceptable blight on your environment and puts communities at risk. And so, therefore,
yes,
we say that we'd like to sort of endorse what's happening with some of the authorities. Now, we know that the police forces, the National Crime Agency, the Environment Agency, HMRC, and the Natural Resources Institutes across England and Wales and Scotland and Northern Ireland are trying to do their best. But what it does do is, yes, it's this. It says the agency encourages anyone who has witnessed waste crime to report it to the incident hotline, which is 0800 807060. So that's 0800.
Just one other thing, just on practicality.
807060.
If
there you go. So if you do spot anyone
moving the waste, what you really need to do, other than following them and see where they put it, is to find out, are they reputable? And you can ask for their waste carrier number, and they should have one. And if they, you could also check it with the Environment Agency. I think you can phone that same number, but
yes,
you can check online. You know, Google, yes, the Environment Agency, you'll find them. They should have a waste carrier license number. If they, and you can, they should actually have an actual license, something to show you, like you should show a driving license. So, if they don't have it, take their vehicle registration number and report them in that way, because we really need to stop this. It's not, you know, if they've turned up saying that they are a reputable,
yes,
company and they're going to deal with it, and they're not, well, it's their own fault if they get that fine. And if not, you might be getting it, so I'd report them.
Yes, indeed. Well, wise words. Well, in fact, yes, listeners, well, we're quite at a tipping point here. So if you do happen to you know, encounter such an issue, well, you've got the number. Well, as a final thought, all that's old or gold does not glitter. In fields of folly we freely fritter. But what leaves folks truly bitter is wanton waste and land we litter. Well, thanks for joining our show, and join us again next time for more colourful conversations with Clergyman Pete and Businessman Mark.